Blog Talk Radio.
To the Care to Read room. I'm glad that you're eager to get this show on the road. Yes, there is a God somewhere, and it happened to be right here in the Care to Read room. I am your advisor, Omienka 7, and I am your advocate, the one you need, and I'm your emperor here to serve you. Whatever you like, I'm here to bring it to you. Once again, thank you for a day in the room with Omi, and that number you want to lock in is 646 478-0270. Please lock it in and keep it right there. You're in for a new segment that we have started on, and that is the Reconstruction to Renaissance, Up from Slavery. The end of Reconstruction is what we're talking about today. What happened during that time? Reconstruction to Renaissance, Up from Slavery, talked about, number one, why did the Republican leaders agree to end the Reconstruction? What did they do that for? And how did the withdrawal of the federal troops from the South symbolize the end of Reconstruction? What was the symbolism in that? And number four, what happened to the civil rights legislation? What happened to them? Did they just have Rosa Parks sit down, and was that all she wrote? The last fight at the battle was when she sat down? What happened after that? Okay, and as we go on, we want to look at what happened to those civil rights movers and where did they go, and what was the thing that they had a problem with. And as we look at the Reconstruction, how did African Americans react to the loss of support from the federal government when the government cut them off of all support, and then they had to go out and find their own way? Some of them had to stay on plantations and become sharecroppers. What happened to them? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put that in your memory bank. I want you to play around with it a little bit on your right side and your left side, and let's be whole brain learners today, ladies and gentlemen, and let's challenge ourselves to think, what could have possibly happened during that time? Now, we're getting ready to move up the ladder, the tree. These are Africans who are getting ready to do better. They want their own church now, and they certainly want their own institutions, but they still want to integrate. They want to integrate. That's right. Rosa Parks wanted half of what was up front that belonged to the Caucasian. They still wanted to integrate. And this was during the time when we had our own bus service, ladies and gentlemen, own black bus service, I might add. And this was during the time where we had our own black hotels. We had our own black facilities, but African Americans wanted to integrate. What do you think about it, people? Was it worth it to integrate and to give up all of your resources for business? Guess what? When they decided to integrate the buses and right up front, they neglected their own very own black buses. And one of the biggest black bus companies went under. For lack of support, it went under. Now, was it worth it? Now, what does integration mean? Does it mean you come to the table and I share half of what I got, you share half of what you got? And do we have equal distribution of products that we can integrate? If we don't, then you don't have a proper integration. Then at one point you may find that you're being completely pulled in to give up your rights to anything you have based on what you had to bring, to accept everything, and there is no amalgamation there, but there is one takeover position where you are now integrated so deeply that you are actually taken over by another race of people. Now, does integration mean that we're trying to do everything right? Sometimes integration can be a trick, and for the African Americans, a lot of us believe that it was a trick. We had nothing to integrate. Coming right out of slavery, we didn't even have our 40 acres of the mule to stand flat-footed and say, I'm ready to do business with other Caucasian people, and we want to integrate. We didn't have anything to integrate, so it became a trick for a lot of people. That is why when we lost all of our major businesses and we gave up our rights to running them in exchange for integrating, we still own nothing, and we still own nothing to this day. Now, was it a trick? Call in. Give me your opinion. I want to hear from you. That number, once again, I want to give it to you, 646-478-0270. Lock it in, little G, and keep it right there. Keep it right there, and I'll be right back in the atmosphere to meet you in the atmosphere, and I will be brief.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go.
before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Hetapoo. Welcome back, family. And once again, we're in the Care to Read room. You know, Omi's been practicing a little bit, and I'm not really up on it yet, but hopefully I'll be able to come back in the room and be able to speak a little bit more of our comedic language. That's right. I've been trying to learn the greetings and the conversational where you introduce your mother, your father, and little simple things like how are you doing, family. So I'll be able to come in here and hold a conversation with some of those people out there. I think it's important that we all learn language, especially our own language. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the topic of Reconstruction to the Renaissance time. We're talking about what must we do to bring about a solution for those souls who wanted to make it on their own and who wanted to stand on their own bottom and pull up their own bootstrap. But we know that a large portion of what was done back in the Reconstruction days has been pretty much destroyed now in Harlem. We know that all of the contracts that were created by the Brule that was designed was somewhat tainted. We know that people signed bogus contracts, and it put them in further debt. And we also know that when the unions came in, there was a big fight to keep the unions out because the unionization meant protection for the people who were working in the blue-collar jobs and some entertainers as well. Now, let me do a brief review. I wasn't here yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, and I apologize. Omi isn't confused about anything. Some days, you know, when we get so much on our calendar, we tend to have to figure out what do we have to juggle around. And there are going to be days I'm going to miss in this room, but I have to beg your apology and say I'm sorry. I'll make up for it today. You wait and see. I will. Now, I want to just recover some of those things that we were going to talk about yesterday about identifying the facts. And I want to go over some of those, and I do have the answers for you on those questions. And one of them, starting with number one, was what two actions did the ex-slaves on plantations feel they had to take? Now, I was in the middle of my sentence last week when we were cut off because I wasn't watching the time, but I will be watching the time today, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to briefly go over that. And they felt that they had to leave the plantation at the least for a while and change their names. Now, I stopped right there last time, change their name. They had to give the slave masters his name back, and they had to take on African names because they did not want to be associated with their slave master. Number two, at first, Washington was not permitted to attend school. Does anyone know why? His stepfather made him work in the salt furnace to add to the family's income, so he couldn't be in school. Number three, why did he move the hands of the office clock back in the situation where the clocks were moved back? He wanted to leave early so that he could get to school on time. Isn't that something? Number four, how did Washington get his full name? Remember I told you he only had a surname. He had been named Booker Tell-Ferrell after birth. He took his stepfather's first name as his last name. Number five, what kind of work did he do? He worked in the salt furnace and later in a coal mine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Washington's desire for education was shared by many of the black people in that particular time. Now, how did they cooperate in order to open a school for their children? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this should be on the hearts of every man and woman, having our very own schools that we incorporated, our own institution. And you know, Omi is all about the institution. Yes, I am. Oh, yes, darling, I am about the institution. I am so much about the institution, I believe that every one of us African-Americans should create our own websites with institutions of some kind. That's why I've been busily and working hard to create institutions for you. And I've been so eager to produce those that I've just finished the institution of the Luxor Institution, which will be displayed hopefully by this Friday. It is completed now, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting out the kinks in there, but there are grant writing and there are stewardships and there are all kinds of programs there for women who are interested in enrolling in programs for teachers who are getting additional credit hours for their graduate degree. They can even read books to obtain these credits. There's a number of things on this website. I think you'll be very pleased with it. But if you also notice at the bottom of the page, OMI has included my page for you to purchase some of these tracks that I've been reading off in poetry. They're only 99 cents. If you like to, go to the bottom of the page, put your credit card in, order one or two of the tracks that I have down there. There'll be new ones featured in the weeks to come. But there are five down there now that you can order at 99 cents. There's also T-shirts, and my book is there for the poetry. I've just completed the second one. That one is available to you, and hopefully we'll have some specials going with the full CD. I'm working on that now, but you can sample the tracks and see how you like it. They're just partially, they don't give you the full-blown track, but you can listen to ones that you like and then download them and pay the fee for 99 cents. I think that's not a hard taskmaster asking you for a lot of money. The book is $19.95, I think it is, or $19.99. Beautiful hardcover book, and hopefully the next edition will have pictures of me in it and family. So far, so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go on. I'd like to do the libation now, and we're running quickly here. This libation is so important that I am going to go right into the libation so that you won't think that I am shucking and driving in this room, because you know I wouldn't be. I'm lighting a candle here to my father's side of the family, and I say, Ashe. I pour the water to my father's side of the family, and I say, Ashe. I'm lighting the candle to my mother's side of the family, and I say, Ashe, and I'm pouring the libation for my mother's side of the family, Ashe. And you know I must wash my hands and face, because nobody wants to greet me with a stale face, especially not Oladulamore. I pour libations to the South. Ashe. I pour libations to the North, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the East, and I say, Ashe. And I pour libations to the West, and I say, Ashe. I call on Robert Jenkins, Ashe. I call on Clara Jenkins, Ashe. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. I call on Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. I call on Eugene Lilly, Ashe. I call on Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. I call on Ludell James, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call on Ruby Lee Bracken, Ashe. Ruby Lily, Ashe. Isa Lily, Ashe. I call on Bessie Lily, Ashe. I call on Tom Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Elijah Day, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. I call on the forces to be here today, and I say, Ashe. And we thank you, ancestors, that you will lift us up and that you will lead us on. Help me to be connected to the coyote, because that's who I am. Help me to be connected to the owl, because that's who I am, and the eagle, because that's who I am. And then open up the streams and the waters and brooks so that they can sit with me and I can be forevermore quenched with the thirst and the water that they give me. Thank you for allowing the ancestors to shelter me. Thank you for Obatala, Alegba, Shango, Ori, the God on my head. I thank you. Ori, because I am to have good success. I thank you. I call on the forces to be, Yamanja. Open up the rivers and the streams, because we are one. Open up the very nature so that we can connect and become a full circle, because I am one with Mother Nature. Mother Nature is one with me. Thank you for allowing the ancestors to stand in the room as we stand on their shoulders today. May we prove ourselves worthy to you. All homage and praise is given to you, ancestors, today. We said all praises given to you today. If there be any acknowledgement, any homage, let us give it to Ori today, because it is Ori who gives us the ability to get over the grain house. It is Ori that gives us the ability to come in this room and to speak. Ori, we pay homage to you today, and we say all praises to you. All praises. And all the elders, and if there's an elder in the house, elder, do we have permission to go on and speak?
Yes, you have permission to go on and speak.
This is the crone of the family. We acknowledge the crone, the wise old mother, who is called the crone. And as the crone speaks, she endorses what we say. And as we listen to what the crone has to say, we know the ancestors are satisfied. And if the ancestors are satisfied, then this is what we're looking for. We consult you, ancestors, for all direction in our life. We consult you, ancestors, for all possibilities of growth in our life. We ask you, ancestors, today, this day, as we cut the ribbon for the new university, the institution, and for the opening of the book and the ribbon ceremony, we ask you to give us grace. Your grace is sufficient. And if it be inshallah, we will sell many books and material. If it be inshallah, we will service many families and institutions with our mere online institution. We thank you that you have given us to go ahead, and that we allow to stand and see beyond on your shoulders what it is that you have for us and the Almighty has set aside. Oludulama Ray, God of this earth, we pay homage to you. Oludulama Ray, Ilede, Olurum, we pay homage to you. And may you acknowledge your ancestors today. And may you pay homage to them by lighting a candle to each one of your mothers and fathers' side of the family. May you call your ancestors' names and remember it is your ancestors who are the closest thing to Oladulama Ray. They will open up the way for you. You know who your ancestors are, and they are fighting and beckoning for you. It is okay to have communion with your ancestors and go to your altars and build altars for your ancestors. It is okay. And today I plead with you, do not be a damn fool for refusing to acknowledge your ancestors. As you begin to sit with your ancestors, ask them to open the door for you. Get to know the mind of God and spend time with your higher self meditating each and every day, and count breaths like this, breathing in, breathing out, exhaling in, exhaling out, counting the breaths. Now count breaths with me, and I'll synchronize my vital signs with yours as you synchronize yours with me. And breathing on one accord, breathing in and out, chanting the name, the highest name that has been given to you in your Kemetic teaching. So as you learn to chant and take deep breaths, you exhale in God and exhale out excretion. It is very good for us to come together like this to understand it is a requirement that we ought to pay homage to our ancestors each and every day, admonishing them, holding them in high esteem, making sure that we give them place in our life. It is the ancestors that go before the throne of God to beg for the things that we need. It is our ancestors who make the way open and clear so that we can pass through a clear passageway. It is our ancestors that gives us the ability to get riches, because they open every pathway for us. Oh, ancestors, we praise you today and magnify you, and we call on the forces to be, all of the deities of Oladulamore, Olorun, Ilede, Obatala, Shango, Ishun, Ilefa. We call on you today that you may be pleased with the work of your heart, that you may be pleased with the love of our institute, that you may be satisfied with what we're about to do, to open up a way for the patience of our people, to open up a way to bring about knowledge and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for going all the way with me on that journey. I don't want you to forget that you are ancestral people, and you ought to pray without ceasing and meditate without fainting. You ought to allow your right side of your brain to continue to bring truth and creativity to you. But be a whole brain learner by bringing your logical side of your left side of your brain together also. Please note, ladies and gentlemen, at the bottom of my page there, you will find that there is an actual page where you can view some of the T-shirts that are out there, and you can also view some of the samples of the CDs and the book. Please patronize me. I'm now ready to patronize myself after patronizing so many other people, and it is in good standing that we do this, because in order for me to build an institution, it's going to take some filthy lucre to do that, ladies and gentlemen. In order for me to offer courses that are connected to the university for our sisters and brothers who want to go through child development, that is going to have to happen as well. Now, for you teachers who already have a degree and are interested in taking coursework and studies and getting continuing education at the graduate level, we are working on that right now as I speak. Because you can participate in a study group where you're reading books, and after reading these books, reporting on and writing with the documentation, of course, you can earn 3 credits through 4 different universities we'll be working with. So if it be inshallah, that will be available to you on our website, so you can go right there and participate in a study group, and hopefully we can extend that to this room. I want you to know that I am an educator and I'm an intellect, so books are very important to me, and I hope they are to you. That's why we named this room Care to Read. And as you noticed, when I first started, we started teaching and training. We have not stopped. Our whole mission is to close the gap of uneducation and making sure people are literate, making sure they have information, timely information. And I know we've been talking about organic gardening. The website is full of organic gardening. One of our mission is to work with the Green Mission. And I don't know how many African Americans it's going to take to change a light bulb, but we're going to figure that out as we go. And we are going to train them about greenery. And because my background is marriage and family and dealing with the economic status of families, I'm very much into the greenery and learning about how we could possibly get our reparation through getting funds that are set aside for our organic gardening and sustainability. That's what we're about, ladies and gentlemen, how to sustain ourselves in a hard time, how to grow our own crop, how to get this filthy lucre, these grants and funding. It's all out there on my page telling you where to go, what universities, and a big conference is coming up in next month, if I'm not mistaken, where you can go and get the training and have access to someone guiding you through the process of applying for this grant for sustainability. I don't want you to think that I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm telling you, Obama has tucked tons of money away in the greening production or industry, and you can find recycling, you can find anything from developing seeds. Come and see Jane Grow. is my concert that I'm putting together. Come see Jane grow. And I come in peace. So this concert will be a concert dealing with poetry. Hopefully we're going to bring that about, looking at the earlier part of next spring or the latter part of the summer. And that whole concept is to bring people together to talk about the green industry, dealing with sustainability, dealing with organic gardening, and how they can find their place in that area. So I won't do too much talking on that. Let me get back to the subject. We have about 10 more minutes left, and we're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. But I do want to bring you back to the Reconstruction. Reconstruction period. This is during a time when we were making some strides in our life. And as I told you, Washington really wanted to get his education. In what way was the whole race trying to go to school? Do you know? We all wanted to go to school when we came out of slavery. Everybody wanted an education, but we knew that wasn't possible. Excuse me. Nearly all recently freed slaves and African Americans wanted to leave to go somewhere and learn how to read. So I beg of you, please know that this is so important to have a reading room where we are consciously evaluating books and literacy. I want to impress it upon every home that it's very important to have written literacy in your home, calendars, booklets, material, journals, newspaper, articles for your children, because a literate household becomes a very intellectual group of people, and that's something that we've been fighting for ever since we came up from slavery. Washington clearly feels that he owes his success to the quality and the inheritance of his mother. Now, how did she help him to realize his ambition? What did she do? She always sympathized with him and used her common sense to help him achieve his goals. She taught him about the benefit of becoming an intellect. And why does he feel that she had great strength of character? He looked at her and saw the strength and character in her, and he adapted that as she advocated for him. She never tried to be something that she wasn't. She knew she was a slave, and she knew she was up from slavery, but she also told Washington, we can be better than a slave. We can pull ourselves up. Washington compared his situation with that of the children who enjoyed the privileges of an honor and distinguished ancestry. He enjoyed that. He knew about his ancestors. Why does he feel that inheritance advantage can be a disadvantage? He soon began to believe it was a disadvantage, and he wasn't quite sure. Why did he feel this? Washington believed that individuals ought to rely on themselves and what they can do rather than on what they inherit from their labor. Relying on themselves.